Welcome to This Week in Debian, the podcast that brings you the latest news and interviews inside the Debian community. Brought to you by FrostbiteSystems.com, providing desktops and notebooks pre-installed with Debian. Every purchase from Frostbite Systems, a portion of the proceeds will be donated back to Debian and help support this great project. So stop on by FrostbiteSystems.com and get your Frostbox today. Hello, welcome. Thank you for joining us on this edition of This Week in Debian. Today we're speaking with Marga, and she's part of the Women in Debian group. Marga, thank you for joining us today.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Marga, the first thing I like to ask the people that we interview is, how did you first get into Linux?
Sorry, can you repeat the question?
Sure. I was just wondering how you first discovered Linux. How did you first get into using Linux?
Okay, right. I started using Linux because my boyfriend at the time, who's my husband right now, was very much inspired by a talk given by Richard Stallman here in Argentina in the year 2000. So he went to that talk, and after he came back, he told me everything Stallman had said in that talk, and we were both glad, and we started using Linux like right after that.
Awesome. So were you using like Windows before that then?
Sorry.
Were you using Windows before that?
Yeah, I was using Windows, yeah, unfortunately.
Okay. So then, where did you start off by using Debian? Was that the first distribution that you used?
Not really. I started using Mandrake, which is not there anymore. But that lasted only a few months, like 4 or 5. And after that, I started using Debian and I haven't used anything else after that. Always Debian.
Oh. How did you end up finding Debian?
I'm not sure exactly, but I think that the APT tool was like a real seller, because installing software in any RPM-based distribution in 2000 was impossible. So yeah. Having APT was like being in heaven.
Now, I'm speaking to, you're in Argentina, correct?
Yes.
So what's, like, down in Argentina, what is the open source movement and or Linux in general like down there?
There's quite a community. I mean, there's a nice community of Linux user groups. We've been pushing for the government to adopt free software policies and have everything in the government be free software, as it is in other Latin American countries like Brazil or Venezuela. But we haven't yet managed to get the central government. Some cities and some provinces have adopted free software, but not the central government. But I think that the free software community is, I don't know, I think it's very nice. It's a nice and strong community.
Does the overall, I mean, would like a normal or average person that you'd walk up to in Argentina, would they know what Linux is if you started talking to them about it?
I think that in the last 2 or 3 years, there's been a more generalized knowledge about it. It's funny that you can find more people that know about Linux in social sciences than in, biology or medicine or that stuff. Because in social sciences, they are interested in Linux because of the social side. So there's a lot of people in that study social sciences and know about it because of Creative Commons and all that movement.
Oh, okay. Is there a lot of like open source or like Linux conventions that are in Argentina that get the word out too to the people that live in Argentina? Do you have any kind of things like that?
Yeah, there's an annual conference that is hosted in a different city every year that is quite big. And also the conference that is hosted in Buenos Aires by the end of the year is also quite big. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So those usually have a large attendance when you guys have those?
Right, yeah, yeah.
When I was talking to you earlier, we were mentioning that that you're a teacher. Is it in Buenos Aires that you're a teacher?
Yeah.
Can you tell us some of the classes that you teach and what that's like, what Linux or open source is like in the school that you teach at?
Okay, so I teach at the University of Buenos Aires, and I teach three different subjects, which are the three different semesters. When a student that wants to study informatic engineering that has to take. So the first semester is teaching in Python, the second is taught in C, and the third is taught in Java. And all along the way, we try to make students conscious of free software and always encouraging them to use free software for what they are developing. We start by giving them a live CD at the start of the semester with all the tools that they will need. The live CD is usually either Debian or Ubuntu, according to whoever does it, but it includes a lot of free software, and most students at least give it a try. Some of them turning to Linux, and some of them use it as a live CD or even install it to have a dual boot machine. But yeah, we've been spreading the word about Linux and free software for quite a while now there at the university.
When the students come to classes, are they the majority of them, are they all pretty much using Windows, and have they never even tried Linux before they take the class?
Yeah, the majority are using Windows. Maybe one or two in a group of 60 uses Linux.
So before you give them the live CDs, you're saying usually only one or two kids have used Linux before?
Right. Maybe they know what it is. Maybe they have tried it. They have tried like an Ubuntu image or something, but yeah, they don't really use it. But when we encourage them to use it, when they see that the teachers use it, many of them decide to give it a try, and many of them like it.
Nice. So I'd like to talk to you about the Women in Debian group that you're a part of. Could you tell me how you first found it?
How it all started?
Yeah, please.
Okay, so in the year 2004, in a Debian conference that took place in Brazil, there was a group of women, of about 10 maybe, and we talked about the lack of women in Debian and how few women were Debian developers, and that we wanted to change that. So after that, there was a group started called Debian Women with a mailing list and an IRC channel and a website, everything made in order to encourage more women to contribute to Debian. That was the original aim of the group, to have more women to contribute to Debian. When the group was founded in 2004, there were only 3 female Debian developers. By now, we are more than 10 female Debian developers, so there's been quite a change. However, we still would like to have more women in Debian than we actually have.
Yeah. So are you also a programmer? Do you contribute code to Debian too? Or I didn't even ask what exactly you contribute into Debian other than, you know, being in the the Debian Women Group, obviously there must be something else that you're doing.
Well, yeah, myself, I have a few packages, not too many, like 5 packages, but what
okay.
I like most doing is fixing bugs in other people's packages. My main contribution
okay.
is in fixing bugs of other people's packages. The other Debian women, all of them do some maintaining and do something else as well. Maintaining packages is something that it's not so interesting, at least for me. I find bug fixing much more interesting and, well, other activities related to that also more interesting than the core of maintaining packages.
Hmm. The, with the Debian Women group, was part of the genesis of the group to make women, like, more comfortable within, like, not necessarily Debian, but just more comfortable with, you know, because the majority of computer programmers and stuff like that are all men. So was it designed to kind of make them a little more comfortable and not have to,
yeah,
you know, maybe,
yeah, yeah. When the group was started 6 years ago, the Debian mailing lists were quite aggressive. Or at least we found them to be quite aggressive. And the idea of having the Debian Women mailing list was that people could ask questions there without being afraid of posing a stupid question or without being afraid to ask.
Yeah.
I think that having the Debian Women project has changed the whole Debian project. And now the mailing lists are not so aggressive as they used to be. There's still a lot of room to change, but they have improved quite a lot.
So if they're not as harsh on the mailing list now, because I know you said there's a Debian Women mailing list, is there much traffic on that anymore now, or do the women pretty much just use, you know, all the normal mailing lists now, or?
Yeah, the mailing list is very underused right now. Only a few pieces of news about something related to women, but not much more than that. It used to be much more used in the past.
Yeah, I remember a couple of years ago, I think there, I don't remember the exact details, but I remember a few years ago within the Debian community, there was some sort of like problem with, you know, men not really speaking that nice to the women on the mailing list, like a specific woman programmer or something. I don't quite remember all the details on that, but I remember it being in the news, like within the community anyways.
Yeah, well, there's been stupid people in every place.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Every project has an anecdote of some stupid people doing stupid things. But,
yeah.
Yeah, I think that with the Debian Women project, one of the things that changed is that many Debian developers realize that some attitudes are not acceptable. So when in the past someone would have said something that's sexist and everybody, someone says something like that, the rest of the people say, no, hey, that this is wrong. We don't accept this kind of attitude in Debian.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's
so,
quite a change.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. So then, with this group, kind of back to one of my earlier questions, with the Debian Women group, this has made, I guess, men and women, I guess, more comfortable with, you know, women in the project contributing code and, you know, squashing bugs and maintaining packages. Then this has been obviously a positive impact for Debian as a whole.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I think it has had quite a positive impact on Debian as a whole.
Do you know if, like, outside of Debian, if, like, you know, in Ubuntu or maybe Fedora or other communities, do they have like a, you know, like a Debian Women group? Have you tried outreaching to these other communities to
No, I know that Ubuntu Women has quite a number of participants, but the
Yeah.
group of Ubuntu Women is oriented toward users.
Okay.
Whereas the group of Debian Women is oriented toward developers. So
I
they are
see.
not exactly the same.
Right. So, do you do anything to promote the Debian Women group? Do you have like your own like booths or stuff like that at different conferences? Like, what do you guys do to help promote the group?
Well, in the past, we did a few Debian Women talks at conferences, yes. But now, I think that what we most try to do is give talks or participate in conferences as women, but not directly promoting the Debian Women project, but promoting that women can do stuff as men. And be as intelligent and as good as men are.
Yeah, definitely. So, do you know what the future holds for the Debian Women group? It almost seems like it kind of served its purpose, and maybe you guys aren't focusing really on that anymore, or do you plan on trying to expand the group more and do other things within the group?
I think we need to take a few more steps in order to get more women to participate in Debian because, we are kind of not growing as we wanted to grow. It was quite a step to go from 3 to 10, but we would like to go now
Yeah.
from 10 to, I don't know, 50. But we need to get
Right.
more women involved for that.
Do you think there's still sort of a hurdle for women to get involved in Debian if they don't know about the women group? Do you think it's still a little bit hard to get involved? Well, or not hard, but intimidating?
I think Debian is not so intimidating as it used to be, but I think that having the Debian Women group a bit more active than it is not right now would be nicer so that we can get more attention from prospective contributors.
Well, speaking of getting more involved, could you give out any like the contact information for the Debian Women group, like the mailing list, IRC channel? I don't know if you have like a form or anything, but can you give out the information for it?
I can give it to you, but speaking, I don't know. Well, the
Yeah.
IRC channel is called Debian Women, Debian Dash Women on OFTC network. The
Okay.
Debian mailing list is also called Debian Dash Women in the lists, .debian.org.
Okay.
The website is women.debian.org.
Okay.
I think that's it.
Great. Is there anything else that you'd like to cover that I didn't get a chance to go over?
No, well, just that right now we are not so active, but we are trying to become more active. So there will probably be more activity about Debian Women in the future.
Great. But well, hopefully, once the podcast gets out, then, maybe it'll encourage some other women to join the group and participate.
Okay.
Well, Marga, I thank you for your time. Is there anything else, that you'd like to mention? Is there anything on, that you're working on in particular or anything, in the Debian project that could use some attention from anybody?
No, I think I've said enough.
Okay. Well, Marga, thank you for your time and your help, and thank you for supporting the podcast, and thank you for your work in Debian.
Okay, thank you for the interview.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you for listening to This Week in Debian. If you know someone or you yourself are in the Debian community, please get a hold of us so we can interview you. If you'd like to get a hold of us, our email address is feedback@frostbitemedia.org. Again, that email address is feedback@frostbitemedia.org. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.